Okay, PTUers, we're back. Jim Labate with Pat Rigsby and Nick Berry, the ultimate personal training business, and we are covering sales and marketing today. So who wants to get started, guys? Pat, Nick, who wants to cover sales and the ultimate personal training business?
Well, I think that if we're going to go over sales and marketing, then it's probably only one logical choice between the two of us. I know who I would go to anyway.
And that would be Nick.
Yeah, I'm gonna, but I'll defer to Pat.
Let's go, Nick.
All right. Sales and marketing in a health club setting's a little bit different with this business model than, you know, what a lot of trainers are probably used to. I mean, for example, like Jim often talks about, you know, an approach to sales that he used very successfully for, you know, selling in-home training that also translates extraordinarily well to, like, selling training in a studio setting. What we found to work very well in a health club setting is a little more of a volume approach. Instead of doing as much pre-qualifying as you might do for studios or for you know, in-home training, one of the easiest things that we've seen to really generate numbers fast is to have the health club tie in and build a relationship with the health club so that you're serving them. Most clubs offer a complimentary orientation to the facility or an equipment introduction session or something like that. So what we've done, and we've varied this at times between offering one session and offering two sessions, but we offer the complimentary personal training session. And we've used that as, you know, kind of a sales appointment, relationship building opportunity. But for the club, you know, it adds value to the membership. It kind of takes that responsibility off their hands so, you know, they can focus on generating more sales and whatnot. So it's kind of a win-win. But the way this has traditionally worked has been that the health club, as soon as a new member is enrolled, would funnel that new member directly to the personal training department, either by scheduling the appointment themselves or directing them to the appropriate person to schedule the appointment for the introductory personal training session with our staff. Now, the way that this works, and instead of me kind of going more about the philosophy about this, I just basically what we'll do is we'll go through each individual step and explain it. The first thing we do, you know, we schedule the appointment. Well, we give the new club member or prospect, if you will, basically a handout, kind of detailing what to expect during the upcoming session with the appointment details, the time, the date. We also let them know that if they no-show, or there'll be a significant penalty assessed, you know, a fee to reschedule this. To just, you know, when you're dealing with volume like this, there's always the greater possibility of no-shows and people not seeing a perceived value. So obviously, not unlike sales copy or whatever else, you know, we show them what the perceived value is. Hopefully, the club sales staff has done a good job building the value in it. One of the things that always works well is if they say, you know, we've purchased a personal training session on your behalf, you know, instead of just saying you get a free, you know, session. So, so if, you know, the client or prospective client gets this paper, you know, we do a follow-up call to remind them, you know, of their appointment the day before, and then they come in. We block a member of our staff. Ideally, you know, you're going to have a lead salesperson, but if it's in a small club setting, it might be one person kind of doing everything. But, you know, in the flow of the, you know, the event would kind of be as follows. You greet the prospect, you know, with the same way that you would greet anybody in kind of a consultative or assessment or introductory sales session type meeting. You know, you make eye contact, you have a good handshake, you call them by name instead of hey, I have an appointment at 10:30, I have an appointment at 11. You know, then what we've done is we use a par cue to kind of qualify the prospect to dig, you know, as Jim would like to say, you know, finding their pain. And so, you know, the first side of the par cue, it's a two-sided questionnaire, just deals with basic health history, any medications they're taking, the typical things that you'd see on most release forms. The back allows us to dig in, and, you know, one side of it, one side of the sheet has things that might allow us to understand a little bit more about their habits. You know, it's going to ask us if they eat three or more meals a day, if they take, you know, a multivitamin or any supplements, you know, what are their hobbies, where do they work? All these information, or all this information that we want to know. I mean, it asks, I believe they get five or more servings of fruits or vegetables a day or something like that. Just a lot of valuable information for you to have. The other side, the right-hand column of the second side of the par cue is going to ask more kind of essay questions instead of just a yes or no type answer. It's going to be more of a open-ended, you know, what brought you in today? You know, what kind of exercise programs have you been involved in the past? How have they worked? You know, just a lot of open-ended questions. So when we start the digging process or the questioning process, if you will, we can really uncover a lot more information. You know, so we start in, we cover the health history, we address anything that might need to be addressed there, or if, you know, they do have some sort of limitation, you know, we can redirect them to the appropriate, you know, medical person, you know, tell them they need to go back and get a release from a doctor or whatever else. But if not, you know, we can dig in, we start to really get to know more about them, why they came in. You know, typically in a health club setting, it's going to be primarily weight loss and aesthetic driven. We can ask them, you know, those questions about, you know, how much weight do they want to lose? You know, how has been being, you know, 30 pounds overweight affected them, or 30 pounds heavier than they would like to be affected them? You know, how's their life going to be different if they, you know, if they lose the weight that they want to lose? If they don't make this decision, what are the repercussions going to be? You know, a lot of that stuff where you can dig in, get emotional, and you get below the surface, basically. And then after we've done that questioning, so we really get to know why they're there, we begin to start to build the solution. So it's kind of that whole problem, agitate, solve philosophy. You know, we begin to build the solution. We start to tell them how we're going to solve their problem or alleviate their pain through our programming. Then we take them.
Now, Pat, real quick, when you do that, when you tell them how you're going to alleviate their pain, how long does that take and what do you tell them?
The way this is going to break down, and I've really kind of just rambled on about it, I guess, is, you know, we do it's going to take them 5 to 10 minutes to fill out the questionnaire. If you're not going back to back to back, which is kind of a problem sometimes in a health club setting because there's just so much business opportunity. If you're not back to back to back, you can always sit down and ask the questions yourself. Or if they fill out the par queue, you can either tell them, get there early, or you know, either way, it's going to take them 5 to 10 minutes. The questioning process and that digging is going to take another 10 to 15 minutes. The solution, kind of building the solution, is probably going to take another 5 to 8 minutes, where we just kind of go over, you know, what we're going to do and how that's going to affect them. And, you know, say they want to lose weight. We have to explain to them, you know, why our solution is going to be more effective for them than just plodding away on a treadmill or joining the free club aerobics class or whatever. So now at that point, if we've blocked off an hour, we've probably gotten to about the 35-minute mark, 30 to 35 minutes. Then we take them on the workout floor and we give them some examples. I mean, we're definitely not taking somebody through a full-scale workout. I mean, we've not really done an assessment per se. We've, you know, what we're doing more or less is taking them out there and kind of just building value in the things that we've said. So, you know, we may show them an exercise, like demonstrate it, have them with a really, really nominal amount of resistance, go through the motion of the exercise. Well, we're giving them a lot of corrective feedback because, you know, people not only want motivation and accountability, basically they want your guidance. They want that feedback. And we see a direct correlation. If we're not doing a lot of correction, a lot of feedback with each movement that we may demonstrate on the workout floor, our closing percentage drops tremendously. If you just stand back and say, okay, well, demonstrate this, and then they do two or three, you know, we've lost that connection, that value we've built in the first part of the sales process. So we demonstrate a couple things. We come back to the table or the desk, wherever we're going to be presenting programs. We all the while, we make sure that we're letting them know, kind of we're foreshadowing what's to come. You know, when they sit down, we say, well, this is how the session's going to lay out. And then when we're coming off the workout floor, well, okay, I'm going to make some notes on what we did today. If you have any questions, you can ask me then. And then I'm going to show you how our programs work so you can see which one's the best fit for you. Because the worst thing in the world is getting back to, you know, the table, writing out some notes on what you did, and then the prospect saying, well, you present programs, they're like, I didn't know there was anything to buy. You're essentially giving them an opportunity for an objection, an easy out. So we kind of walk through things. We overcome any objection that they – the whole idea is to overcome any objection that they might have before we actually get to presenting programs. So we've dug a lot of information. We've tried to build a lot of value on the floor. Then, you know, after we kind of make some notes, address any quick concerns that they have, but ideally we've already addressed them before we even sit back down. We show them the programs, we present things, and typically a alternate choice closed fashion. So maybe we say something along the lines of, okay, you know, we have three different programs available for you. You know, we have our three-time-a-week program and it has these benefits. We have our two-time-a-week or two-session-a-week program and it has these. We have our one-session-a-week program and it has these benefits. Now, based on what we've talked about, I'm going to recommend either program A or program B. Which one do you want to get started with? And, you know, in a lot of instances, because you've already, you know, built a lot of value, you've overcome objections before you ever sit back down, you know, you're going to get a significant percentage of closes there without any more discussion. And because we're in a health club setting, I mean, there have been plenty of times during my sales career and personal training that I might have 10 sales opportunities like that in a day during a peak season. So, you know, if you're closing 50 or 60%, you can only imagine the volume of revenue you're generating.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Okay. So, I mean, it's different from the way I do things, but obviously the system definitely works. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You guys are, you know, test things and make sure you do everything to the letter. So,
well, the difference is if you're interacting with somebody, they know that they at least have an interest in personal training. You know, I mean, you don't contact a personal training studio or an in-home personal trainer unless you've considered personal training. Well, in a health club setting in Kentucky, for example, I would venture to say that 90 to 95% of the people that walk through the door and have bought a membership not only haven't ever worked with a trainer, but they've never even considered the possibility of using a trainer. So the concept of really pre-qualifying these people, we would literally, for example, you know, we at any given time in our training business in Elizabethtown, you know, we might have 400 clients. Well, if we would have just pre-qualified people, you know, based on a lot of the things that people do to pre-qualify for studios or whatnot, it would have been hard-pressed to ever get, more than 50 at a time. Just, you know, we had to basically educate these people on personal training. It's a lot like I have a feeling chiropractors kind of went through the same thing for a long time because people just didn't know what they were. So for us, it's educating them on the need because they just never, it never even crossed their radar until they sat down and met with us. So, selling training in a health club setting like this, it's kind of a different animal. So,
well, there are a couple other things, too, that you can do that we focus on, and this is partly operational, but I think we need to at least touch on it. In order to keep give ourselves every opportunity to close a sale, we track our conversion rates all the way through our funnel. For example, the club would get a new member. From there, we would try to get them in our schedule book. From there, we got to make sure that they show. From there, we've got to take them through this session and try to close them. And what we could do by monitoring these conversion rates from, you know, steps 1, 2, 3, 4, we could tell where we might have a weak point in our system. Where that's important is you can go back and you can make changes. And you can't, you know, when you're dealing with delivering a service and dealing with the public, I don't think that it's really possible to ever expect to have a perfect system in place. But you have to put some procedures and protocol into place in order to increase the likelihood of a higher conversion. That's something that we learned very early on. We could sit down and look at our conversion rates and say, okay, you know, right here is our weak point. What do we need to do to increase this conversion? And that's where some of the things that Pat was just talking about came from. Be it a scheduling protocol or, you know, it could be something as simple as having the staff members say, well, we've purchased a personal training session for you. You know, anything like that that helps to increase the likelihood that person then schedules and then shows up. And from there, it's our responsibility to do everything in our power to increase the likelihood of a purchase. You can be as detailed or, I prefer more detailed than less, but you can be more detailed than what I just used as an example, from, new member sales to being put in the schedule book to a show rate to a purchase or a new client rate. But if nothing else, that's a good place to start. And you can quickly identify where you may be losing out on opportunities to sit down with a potential customer.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
I know that was kind of a tangent, but I feel like it's something that we need to talk about a little
bit. No, you're absolutely right. It's just one of those things where, I mean, you guys do a great job of just making things as easy as possible. So there's nowhere to, you know, there's, I can ask, as you guys know, a million questions usually, but I think you guys do things so straightforward that I don't really need to.
And the beauty of this is this stuff reveals itself very quickly. I mean, Jim, when you were selling personal training, how many sales opportunities do you think you might go through in any given month?
I don't know, because it was in-home training, you know, a few dozen.
So, I mean, it's
certainly not as many as you'd go through in a club, no.
Right. I mean, there were months where I might do 300 plus. And, you know, so the neat thing about this is the things that Nick was alluding to, you know, you get a sample size that's substantial pretty quickly if you need to change something. So, you know, you kind of get your feet held to the fire. I mean, in this type of environment, you can run a profitable training business closing 25% of the people you sit down with. I mean, most health clubs, only about 3% of their members use a trainer. But, you know, you can run a really good business closing, you know, 25% of the people you sit down with, probably even less than that, as long as your package value is where it needs to be.
And
but,
if you're converting, you're getting plenty of people in front of you. That you just can't afford to convert 10% of the new members into people who are in the schedule and 10% of them into clients, because at that point, you know, it's, you've already lost out on such a major or a majority of your pool.
But, you know, even in a smaller club, like a lot of the small Anytime Fitnesses, and I mention them just because they're one of the few health club chains that, you know, they're not independent, but they don't really have a personal training protocol. So the opportunity for an independent trainer to come in there and set up an arrangement is probably easier than it would be in most places. You know, I mean, even if they're only doing 50 or 60 members a month, you know, there are clubs out there in, you know, what we would certainly consider secondary markets where, you know, they may be generating, you know, five figures a month from a couple trainers by using a approach similar to this. So it's definitely viable. It's just, you know, you have to be willing to sit down with more people. You have to think, I mean, it sounds funny, but more in terms of quantity versus quality. But, you know, as far as sales, some of the things, you know, some of this stuff really crosses over. I mean, we used a lot of your questioning process to improve the front end of our introductory sessions. We did a little of the velvet rope mindset by really ramping up the rescheduling fees and that sort of thing. So, you know what, you better see the value in this now, because otherwise you're going to pay for it if you don't. But ultimately, you know, you want to become the added benefit that we haven't really touched on, because it falls more into marketing, is by meeting with every person at gym, even if people don't buy immediately, you've become more of the face of the gym. I mean, you spent an hour with them. You're more of the face of the gym than the salesperson that signed them up is. So you're going to be the person they come to whenever they have, you know, a question about, well, hey, I can't lose my belly fat. What do I do? And so you're going to get more secondary sales opportunities by using this approach.
I always, I would get a lot of questions from trainers who purchased my sales kit and say that I'm in a club. How do I go about getting more, turning these consultations into sales, or, getting people to ask me questions, turn them into sales, or how do I get more clients working in a club? And one of the things I always tell them, and I'm just curious if you guys did this too, was part of the velvet rope approach and the positioning was I tell them, for one thing, you should always look like you're busy. You should never be standing around and, just chatting and talking to other people in the gym. You should always be like the guy or the girl, the woman who is the trainer. You're always doing something. You're always looking busy. You're always looking like a professional. You're not just standing around like most personal trainers are, acting like you have nothing better to do than just stand at the front desk talking to the front desk person. Make sure that you're always writing articles. Make sure that you're always asking the members of the place, something like, I always go up to people instead of just saying, hey, can I show you a better way to do this exercise? Go up and say, hey, listen, I've been thinking about writing 3 different articles. Which article would you like me to write most? And if it was a woman, something like, how to get, how to get a better butt, or how to get six-pack abs, or how to fit into your skinny jeans. Basically, it'd probably be the same article, but just 3 different titles. And from that, whatever the results were from asking several women, you could write that article and then go up to them later when you have the article done and just give it to them. So here's that article I was telling you about. So basically just promoting yourself as experts, promoting yourself as somebody who knows what they're doing, and always staying top of mind by giving them that information obviously it's your business. You want all your trainers doing this, but is that something that you guys did? I mean, would you go about really making your
experts? That's outstanding. A couple of the other things that we've done periodically to, instead of the typical work the floor where you're essentially just bugging the shit out of the gym members, we would have trainers occasionally, kind of walk the floor, make eye contact, and say hi to members. If somebody made eye contact with them, said hi, we would simply say, hey, how's your workout going? If they said fine, great, anything positive as a response, say, hey, wonderful, you ever need anything, let me know. If not, if they said, well, not so good, or anything negative or whatnot, so we would typically give them one type of tip, and it would always tie back, would say, say, somebody was not being able to lose body fat, not getting results, whatever, we would give them one tip. Hey, this is something that has worked, just wonders with, several of my clients. So, do this. And then we would immediately say, now, if you'd like to, I can kind of expound on this and give you more insight. I have a couple opportunities available later in the week. Would you be interested? And, so there's a little scarcity there. And then you essentially give them 2 opportunities. I mean, you could be, you could have the most open schedule of any trainer in the club, but it's always going to be, well, I have Thursday at 9:30 or Friday at 10:30. There are just a couple windows. Choose one. It can't be, hey, I've got all day Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Well, if you're this good a trainer and you're going to help me, then why don't you have any clients? So,
yeah.
We do that. That always worked very well. And then we do a lot of in-club, in-club seminars, in-club presentations, tied to a particular topic, something along the lines of, how to avoid that dreaded holiday weight gain. We might do a seminar tied to New Year's resolutions, results to reality, something like that, where you have somewhere to funnel all those current gym members to. We didn't do much of the just going up, bugging people on the floor. If somebody kind of just after, that eye contact, the polite greeting you would hope anybody would give in a club, And they kind of raised their hand and said, hey, you know, I need a little help. I'm kind of lost out here. Then we would follow up. But the beauty of that is, too, because you've done intros, you know, with virtually everybody in the facility at one point or another, you know, these people know you and trust you as a resource. You know, I've worked with companies that were, you know, absolutely the hardest closing. You either left having bought something or having hated the salesperson. And then then our philosophy was always, you know, we're going to push a little bit because we feel like, you know, we know what's best. These people don't really know what's going to get results. They've been probably a little bit misled by the club salespeople. But, you know, if it's not their time, that's fine. We'll come back. We always funnel people into an autoresponder system. you know, so we're going to stay in touch with them. We're going to make sure that they're aware of our upcoming seminars and events, and then we'd always make a special offer out of those. So,
the venerable special offer, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You can't really go wrong with a good special offer. People love them.
Yeah, and we do themed things periodically, or you never know. You know, we had a lot of success with weight management programming, that sort of thing. Well, you know, if somebody wasn't necessarily a good fit for training, we may, you know, hey, I know what I'm doing with exercise. And a lot of times, you know, they'd say it even if it wasn't true. We might funnel them into a weight management program. So, from a sales standpoint, that's pretty simplistic.
Now, did you have special offers on different things, you know, just month by month? Like, say, for instance, maybe there's a discount or a special offer on a weight management program in June, and then a discount on certain supplements in July, and then discounts on, you know, getting ready for back to school personal training in August. I mean, would you have like a promotional calendar?
Yeah, there's always something. There was always something we were doing, but it's kind of funny. Rarely was that something as far as like our basic personal training services. Rarely was it tied to that. Now we may do something during the winter, like during December, where we would allow people to start training in December and have no payments till January, just because, you know, they'd sign the contract, but we would set up their EFT billing for January just because Christmas. But typically, training stayed pretty much the same because, you know, all those new club members, you know, they had nothing to gauge it against. So, I mean, they didn't really know what the training was worth or, you know, had no preconceived idea of cost or anything like that. Now, for what something we did very regularly with our existing clients is there was always a themed offer every month because every client would receive a monthly assessment, which very, you know, very simple, better defined is kind of a progress update where we do, you know, body fat measurements, that sort of thing. And then we would have a standard upsell each month. And that would be more of a supplement, weight management program, a personal training program upgrade where we'd have a scripted out offer for each person that our trainers would have to present during that session. And so it gave us a very structured opportunity to ask instead of just being very haphazard about it. Now, for weight management programs, we didn't have to do much in the way of discounting, but we would change kind of the theme or what the added value was depending on the season. You know, we might change the theme, you know, your last excuse just got on the bus for the fall. Or, you know, going into the summer, you know, getting bikini ready or whatever. You know, a much higher percentage of our weight management clients were women, especially when we switched from one-on-one to group weight management. I mean, it probably went from 75% women up to about 95% women once we made that transition. So, you know, we targeted all of our marketing specifically to women at that point.
Gotcha. Okay, which makes the most sense because I'm guessing the vast majority of your personal training clients were women. The majority, or no?
Nick, what would you estimate that at? 70%?
Probably. It might have been a little higher than that, to be honest with you, but not a lot higher, more than 75.
So, you know, and the beauty of this whole model, and, you know, we touched on it in the first audio, but when we talk about marketing, you know, our marketing costs were – in this facility in Elizabethtown, for example, were nominal compared to most personal trainers' marketing costs because most everything was internal. You know, we start to, you know, move people into an autoresponder and send out broadcasts and newsletters. You know, we use voice broadcasts for promotions that we'd run. I mean, we occasionally ran, you know, we've done things like a re-sign promotion using a voice broadcast and the email and then an in-club face-to-face promo where we did over $30,000 in sales in one day using that. And the total cost of the marketing side of it was probably under $400. So, you know, it's a tremendous return, but when you that's the beauty of this. When you use a system like this where you're in club, your prospects are already in the door, so you don't really have to do much in the way of direct mail. All of our direct mail costs were run through send-out cards, doing follow-up, you know, thank you for, you know, becoming a client, weight management program, graduates, you know. We didn't do as much referral request type promotion as we would like at our health club, where because for somebody to become a client in this setting, they had to be a gym member. So, you know, we waited till somebody had already joined the gym. Ironically enough, for the weight management program, they weren't required to be a member. So we used more of a external marketing approach and did referral promotions and some external presentations in the local community, driving people to the weight management program more than the actual training.
Gosh. Okay. All right. So have we covered sales? Have we covered everything? We have a general outline here. I mean, the rescheduling, handling objections, post-sale and everything, we still need to cover all that?
Yeah, the only thing as far as the actual sales process and not the follow-up, we didn't really get into handling objections, and that was pretty much by design, I guess, or we just don't really deal with a lot of objections. If you have a lot of objections, by the time you get back and present prices, then odds are you didn't do enough work in the questioning process or in building value. A lot of people in sales will tell you, hey, if objections are just a way of you easing the prospect's mind or whatever else. Well, ideally, we've done that before it's ever been a confrontational environment. We do not want to have that. We want to become kind of the assistant buyer by the time we present programs, where we're just helping the prospect choose the appropriate program for them. Now, if somebody did happen to have an objection, you know, it's always kind of tied to money. Even if they say it's spouse or time or whatever, it's tied to money. So we would have kind of a drop, as we would call it, where a client or a prospective client could, if the once a week program was not cost effective for them, they could do a twice a month program where they would basically get a program designed for them, be taught the program in one session, and then just kind of a follow up checkup in their other monthly session. And that program was going to be, roughly 60% as expensive, 60 to 65% as expensive as the once-a-week program. So our margins are actually better on that program. But it would just be presented like this, as soon as somebody, had an objection with cost, said, well, okay, I'll tell you what, I think I have a great solution for you. What we'll do is we'll start you out with this twice-a-month program where you're still getting the same benefits of having a program personally designed for you. You're still getting that same guidance. You're getting everything mapped out for you. All you really have to do is execute the plan. And so you're going to meet with your trainer twice a month. And the added bonus is it's only an investment of, $100 a month versus the $175 or whatever. So let's go ahead and start you with that. And then if you decide you want to upgrade later on, that'll be fine. And, many times we were able to overcome the money objection with that. And if not, then, frankly, either that person's probably not a really good fit for what we're doing, or we've done a bad job in the preliminary part of the sales consultation. Now, there have been times where we would do a two-part introductory session where we would offer a follow-up session where we would discuss nutrition more in depth, and that would be where we were selling our weight management program. But for those people that said, well, I need to think about it or whatever else, that at least gave us a very defined time to come back and meet and basically get them off the docket, either yes or no. But as far as we're concerned, if somebody left that first appointment and they had not committed, then they're a no, regardless of what they say. Can't you base your business on BBACs? So now, the follow-up, the paperwork stuff, Nick, do you want to touch on that a little bit since you're
A lot of it is directly related to how you do your billing. First off, with your agreement, you need to, in some way, shape, or form, have a waiver of liability. Also, you need to make it very clear exactly what is being purchased and what the terms and the arrangement are, be it payment methods, payment amounts, payment intervals. Also, clearly define the service if it's, this package of, for us it would be a 12-month package, one session a month, one session a week. Make sure that it's very clearly defined exactly what they're getting in exchange for the payments. You also need to have any policies, cancellation policy, a refund policy, the kind of things that people need to understand ahead of time. Otherwise, you're going to come to a position down the road where you're going to be explaining something to someone, and you're both going to realize very clearly that, it should have been defined ahead of time. So in order to avoid that altogether, we put all of that in our agreement. A lot of times, the attorney general in each state, and they each have different policies, but they will you either have to have your agreement approved or submitted to them, or there are certain things that your agreement will be required by the state to contain. That needs to go through an attorney before you start signing agreements with someone, if you want it to be worth the paper that it's printed on, basically. And then you need to satisfy any information that your billing company, if you're using a third-party billing company, that they would need. And that may be just as simple as the personal information, the billing information, Beyond that, they'll want a copy of the agreement, a signed copy. Really what you're going to have to do is if you decide that you're going to have agreements created, you need to have an attorney make sure that it satisfies the state, and you can deal with your third-party billing company and make sure that it satisfies everything that they need. And beyond that, that should be able to cover all of your bases. You're going to make sure that the payments and the package terms are defined to the customer so they're happy. The attorney's made sure that the state's happy, and the billing company has told you what information they're going to need so they're happy. And if all three of those people are happy, then you're going to be happy. So it sounds like it might be kind of complex. It's really not. Go to an attorney, go to the billing company, make sure that you've got everything addressed with them, and the rest you should be able to handle very easily. So that's pretty much it with the agreement completion.
Okay. Pat, anything to add on that?
No. Nick, I mean, Nick's the go-to guy with that side of our business. No, I think he's covered it all.
Yeah, okay. All right, guys. So we covered sales. I guess the last thing I'll ask you, do you do anything like I do where you kind of give people one last chance to back out or anything like that, or do you just – they go over the paperwork and you tell them what to expect the first workout and then go on their merry way?
Well, we've always scheduled, essentially, we get kind of an introductory meeting with your trainer, whereas all of our training sessions were 30 minutes, but the first meeting with the trainer after they enrolled would be an hour. And that's where they would kind of sign a trainer-client partnership where, okay, these are the expectations. You can expect this from your trainer, but your trainer expects this from you. And that's always pretty much signed or scheduled within the first 3 days of their membership or, package program, whatever you will. Because in the state of Kentucky, they have that 3-day window that they can void the agreement. So we all schedule it in there. So if there is any buyer's remorse, then that's their opportunity. And, in dealing with, well over 1,000 clients, Nick, what was our total people that probably exercised that 3-day window? Probably less than 10?
Probably not half of that, actually. There might have been a handful that used the cooling off period, and then another handful who at some point came back and said something similar, but it was outside of that window.
Okay.
So it just wasn't something that we just didn't have to deal with very often. But you are required to offer that cooling off period.
Yeah, I mean, for us, a lot of it came from selling people what they could really afford instead of overselling training. The people that get high cancellation in that 3-day window that sell training in a format anything like this are always the ones that are trying to sell people that have no business spending $400 or $500 a month on personal training. It's just not in their budget. They're selling them that. Instead, for us, we're very content selling that person a $175 a month package, knowing that, if we deliver on what we promise, then we're going to keep that person for life, and we're going to keep that person upgrading into our ancillary offering. So.
Okay. All right. So we're going to touch on client retention real quick first, and then we're going to go into marketing. We've got covered a lot of stuff in sales, so we want to cover client retention and client service and then move on to marketing.
Well, the marketing, we've already touched on a little bit. I mean, it's kind of interesting. The marketing is really negated. But I'll tell you what we can do if you want. We can, for our third call, we can kind of move the client retention to that because it probably ties in better with the other material we'll cover, and we can just touch on what we haven't covered in marketing, because there's just not much. I mean, we already talked about working the floor and the way we approach it in kind of a non-aggressive way. You know, a lot of it has to do with building relationships, you know, with the club itself and making sure you're getting that high percentage of new members, because that's where the bulk of your business is going to come from. The people who are actually active in the club, but they've been there for 18 months, a lot of those people, you know, they're pretty much set in their ways and they're comfortable with what they're doing. The people who weren't comfortable, they just quit coming. So, you know, ideally, when you're building a relationship with a club, you want to get access to their inactives. So you can do either, a telemarketing campaign and hire your assistant to do that, or you can do a postcard or an email blast with the inactives. But then after that, it becomes very simplistic. You're dealing with scheduling all the new members. You're dealing with the kind of the floor campaign, and some signage throughout the club. I mean, simple stuff as far as dry erase boards. A lot. We have a wall of fame that we've used very successfully, where we just have before and afters from our clients, and looks a lot like the testimonials that you'll see on sales copy for fat loss products. And so as far as for new client lead generation, I don't want to make it sound super simple, but there's not a lot more to it. If you're doing those things and doing them really well, you don't need to be doing 15 different things besides that. And then internal marketing, that's where the hidden, the hidden gems are. You get back in and you have those structured upsell offers like we talked about before with your clients. You're sending the minimum a bi-weekly or, bi-monthly newsletter, upselling. You have to be using some sort of supplement program, unless the club has their own, and then you need to find a way to tie in, at least get a kickback off that. But if they don't,
you need to be selling ProGrade.
Yes, exactly. it's perfect for this type of environment. We did very well with it. And, you need to have some sort of nutritional offering, a weight management program, a short-term nutritional coaching course, something like that. Because all of your clients, it's amazing the percentage of grade into at least a short-term, like a four-session nutrition coaching program. If you do that, man, you should be all set. I can't imagine, you missing out on a whole lot of money then. So, like I said, I don't want to make it seem like the marketing stuff. I know Jim and I are huge into marketing, but it becomes very easy for you in club. You get to really streamline things, and you get to narrow your marketing approach to like five things that are always running that, occasionally you're tweaking the copy or the theme. But, it makes it very easy because those people are kind of a captive audience.
Yeah, very much so. Very, very much so. So, all right, guys. So where does that leave us now? What do we need to talk about next? We're taking a break.
The next call we can just discuss client service retention and kind of putting it together. Making sure that you're hiring, hiring trainers, because if you use this approach, you're going to fill up pretty quickly and you're going to have to delegate some clients. So you know, delivering what you're selling, either by you or, you know, employees. So, yeah,
okay.
I'd say that should cover it, unless there's something else Nick wants to address in the next audio.
No, that works for me. So,
all right. So, everybody who's listening, reading, it's like I said before, everything Pat and Nick provide is extremely straightforward. You know, I think, as Pat has kind of said, we both love marketing, but, you know, the stuff is, it's really pretty easy once you just get your head wrapped around it and you just start doing it on a regular basis. Everybody that we've ever worked with and we've ever met at, any Perform Better events or Ryan Lee Boot Camp or whatever else, I mean, everybody tells the same thing. Like, you know, I just started doing the stuff you say, and, you know, and we've learned this from other people, and, you know, it just works. So, use all the advice I have about their sales system. In-club marketing should be pretty easy. You have a promotional calendar. You promote your trainers as experts and, make sure that they're writing, speaking on a regular basis. You have email marketing in place and, you know, everything else just kind of, I mean, the money just comes. So, guys, last words, is that pretty much everything? We'll cover delivering the service on the next call, and that's it, right?
Yes, sir.
Perfect.
All right, guys. All right, everybody. It's the Ultimate Personal Training Business System, and we'll see you on the next call.
This conference is no longer being recorded.